Moncrief on News Talk.
With the cost of living still creeping up, people are cutting back on their household expenses, and sadly, that can include pets. The NSPCA has seen a noticeable spike in people asking to surrender pets to them because they simply can't afford it anymore. Conor Dowling is Chief Inspector of the NSPCA. Good afternoon, Conor.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Yeah, so it's a list of people, a surrender list that you have at the moment.
Yeah, we do. We have a waiting list of about 400 people looking to surrender their dogs into the care of the NSPCA. Now, there can be a variety of reasons for this. Sometimes it's that they haven't turned out as they expected. Perhaps there's behavioural issues. But certainly a factor is the cost of living and their ability to afford to care for the animals correctly.
Yeah, and are the vet's bills a significant part of that?
Yeah, vet bills are expensive and they're going up all the time, more than other rates of inflation. We don't know exactly, there's no standardised prices here in Ireland, but there was a study done in the UK that found in the 6 years leading up to 2023, there was a 63% increase in the cost of vet fees. So that's quite a dramatic increase.
I mean, no one's accusing vets or, you know, they're creaming it or anything like that. Presumably bills have gone up for them as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's numerous market factors that play into that, but it's not just their line in their pockets. But the end result is that for the pet owner, it represents a huge spike in veterinary costs.
Yeah, and are you finding sometimes people can't, you know, that and because it can be expensive if something goes wrong with the dog, and people are going, well, I should get this procedure done, but I can't afford, so that the poor dog doesn't get what it needs.
Yeah, we've seen a number of incidents where inspectors have responded to calls and found that people have something wrong with their dog or whatever animal it might be, and they can't afford the veterinary care. And sometimes all they want to do is for us to take it away to make sure that it gets the care.
Yeah,
and we already have 200 dogs in our care at the moment. So each time that happens, that's another burden on us as a charity. But yeah, and we've even had incidents where people have brought dogs to a vet with an injury. And when they've heard the cost of the potential treatment, they just kind of disappear and then effectively abandon the dog in the veterinary clinic.
Yeah. And of course, even a pet insurance. Well, I suppose a lot of the time people don't think of getting pet insurance, but pet insurance itself is pricey enough.
It is, yeah. I mean, it can be anything from 150 to 400 per annum for a dog, depending on the age and the breed and various other factors. But it can avoid shocks in the long run, because, you know, if your dog runs out in front of a car and breaks a hip or a leg, you know, you could be looking at surgery of thousands of euro.
Yeah.
So if some people can afford it, it's very much worth considering.
Yeah. And are there people out there, say, you know, who've taken on, who have 8 dogs, and said, I can't afford 8 of them, so will you take 2 of them off me?
Yeah, I mean, we've certainly had situations. You can sympathise with people who perhaps get a dog and they think they're covered for the future, but maybe their circumstances change and things go wrong and they look to surrender it. But we also encounter people that we call to who might be looking after their dogs properly, and they say, oh, I'm doing my best, and you might be looking at them going, well, you have 6 or 7 dogs, you really need to have 6 or 7 dogs, you should have considered this before you took on so many. But it's a reflection of how easily accessible dogs are in Ireland at the moment, how many there are and how easily acquired they are, and unfortunately some people are inclined to take on too many and then not be able to look after them correctly.
So there are 400 people on a surrender waiting list. How many dogs are in your care, your actual care at the moment?
Well, around about 200 dogs at any one time.
Yeah. So, I mean, so if that surrender list starts to grow, it kind of reaches a pinch point, really, that you know, people are there any other organisations you can surrender a pet to?
Oh, there's various charities and animal rescue and rehoming centres around the country, and they would tell you a similar story. Everyone will have lists of people who are waiting. But it's important to bear in mind, I mean, our first priority is to those animals that come from our inspectorate. So we have inspectors out there enforcing the Animal Health and Welfare Act. And if they feel the need to seize or to remove a dog, that has to, from a situation where it's been treated cruelly or not been cared for properly, that has to take priority over an owner surrender. So as well, we'll try and help people. It's not as easy as taking every dog that people want to rehome.
Mm. And so the dogs, the 200 or so dogs that are in your care, how long do they tend to be with you for?
or varies hugely, Sean. I mean, it depends on the background. Our inspectors bring in animals and they might have physical scars, but also they might have mental or emotional scars. And they're the ones that take the longest to heal. So we have some animals that come in who wouldn't have been socialized or received, you know, kind human contact. And it can take quite a while for them to come around. So it could be, you know, if you've got something that comes in that's relatively healthy and is friendly and is vaccinated and quarantined, and we do a home check and it could be out within 3 or 4 weeks. But you might have another dog that would take 6 months before trust people and before it's ready to go to a new home.
Yeah. Do you always manage to rehome the animals?
Nearly always. There's always, you know, there can be health issues and there can be some occasionally behavioral issues which animals don't respond to behavioral training. So there are occasions when we can't home a dog, and but 90-odd% of the time they're rehomed.
Okay, that's good news. And Alex, so would you have a long waiting list of people who'd like to get a dog from you?
Unfortunately, not long enough. That's always the challenge. And that's what we would encourage people to do. You know, if you're considering getting a dog, come and talk to us first. Don't necessarily get on a website and look to buy one. You know, we can put you onto the right dog that suits your circumstances, your family, your home. It doesn't necessarily matter what the dog looks like, as long as it fits into your home and it becomes part of your family, because you might look at something and think, I like the look of that, but it just might not be suitable.
Mm. And presumably you're in a position, I mean, your organization is in a position to say to prospective owners, no, that won't suit you, and this is why, because you've, I suppose, vetted their circumstances a little bit.
Exactly, and that's, you know, another reason why there is that waiting list, is that some people, like, they might be driven by what they're looking at, the appearance of a dog, and think that that's the dog for them. But then when they actually get it into their home, they realize, no, it's temperament. Mm. It isn't suitable. They can't fulfill the exercise requirements of this dog. So, you know, people really should be thinking about that beforehand and considering coming to an adoption center.
Yeah. Do people ever turn up and maybe they're not suitable to have a dog at all?
Yeah, they can happen. Yeah, and we do home visits before we rehome them, and our inspectors and me as an inspector, I have done them, and there has been some occasions where I've looked around and thought, you know, what are you thinking? You know, you're not set up to maybe look after yourself. Never mind the dog. But thankfully, most people who apply are suitable. They might have to make some adjustments to the accommodation or whatever, but by and large, we can find suitable homes.
Yeah. Is there too many dogs in the country? By which I mean there's not enough homes for dogs and too many dogs looking for a home.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we've seen it in recent years that the number of dogs entering the pounds system has increased. We saw a real spike during COVID, and we really haven't gone over that yet. There's still too many dogs being bred. And they're just too, like I say, too readily available. And unfortunately, there are people who aren't suited to looking after dogs who will insist on taking possession of them. We would like to see a reduction in breeding, and we'd like to see more controls of regulated commercial dog breeding. But also we need to be looking at backyard breeding and encouraging people to have their dogs neutered so that there's less unwanted litters.
Yeah. And that commercial, those puppy farms, even if they're legal, most of their business, would that be for export, or are they, is it in Ireland?
It's a bit of both. There's some that might be exported. Now, nowadays, with rabies regulations, they pups have to be vaccinated and have to be retained for 3 weeks. So if you're going to export a pup legally, it would have to be 15 weeks of age, by which time it's less popular for a potential buyer abroad. So there's perhaps less export than we would have seen a few years ago because of those restrictions. But, you know, if you look at the figures for dog breeding establishments in Ireland, the maximum number of pups they probably produce per annum is around about 17,000. And the reality is that the demand for dogs in Ireland is probably 3 or 4 times that. So there's a lot more dogs coming from elsewhere rather on top of the registered dog breeding establishments. And most of that appears to be, you know, small scale breeding, people with 1 or 2 or 4 female dogs breeding out their back garden.
My word. And I suppose your advice would be, if if you are a family thinking of getting a dog, go to the NSPCA or any of the other organisations that have dogs looking for a home.
Absolutely. Come and see us, talk to us, and we'll talk through your situation. And, you know, I've had friends even who have gone out and bought dogs and bought something that wasn't suitable for them and they had to rehome it. And if they waited a little bit longer and spoken to me and it's happened, I found the right dog for them and they're really happy with them now.
Before I let you go, Connor, is it an onerous process to get a dog? You know, the vetting and all that. So someone's just texted in to say, called into a local vet to see if they knew of anyone looking to rehome a dog. She advised me not to bother going to one of the well-known dog homes with the words, it's easier to adopt a child.
Well, that's just patently not true. We're not that strict. You know, there's obviously certain safeguards. We have to make sure that the home is suitable and that people's working arrangements at a certain amount of flexibility to ensure that the dog isn't left for very prolonged periods. It doesn't mean that you have to be sitting at home with the dog in your lap 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
But there's certain safeguards and there are certain steps that have to be taken to ensure it's a suitable home.
Connor, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Connor Dowling there, Chief Inspector of the NSPCA. Vincent says veterinary bills have soared mainly because the pharmaceutical industry have been buying up veterinary practices all over Ireland and increasing prices while deluging people with emails to bring your pet in for this or that treatment, vaccine, procedure. I got so tired of it that I left my long-time vet, now run by a corporate pharmaceutical entity, and found a genuine old-fashioned vet, not unlike James Herriot. Both my dog and I are much happier, says Vincent.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.